gut stuff might be uncomfortable for you to talk about, but it's even more uncomfortable for you to deal with. And you have better things to do this year. Don't let your gut get in the way of that. Kick off the year of the habit and get science-backed digestive support during Ritual's New Year's sale. Their 3-in-1 clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotic help support a balanced gut microbiome. The delayed release capsule is designed to help reach the colon where probiotics can actually survive and grow, so you can focus less on your gut and more on sharpening your salsa dancing skills or whatever your 2026 goals are. Start a habit that sticks with 40% off your first month, plus a free gift with purchase at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Well, it's time now to speak to Lonely Planet author and travel writer Fionn Davenport. Happy New Year to you.
And you,
Fionn.
And you.
You took a lovely break over
yes,
the New Year's.
I went to see my mother in Florence, and as everyone who travels to Florence from here, they fly into Pisa because there is no direct flights to Florence Airport. But interestingly, the reason why we're going to talk about Pisa is this, because even though the Ryanair flight is year-round and super convenient, the timings don't often work. Like, for instance, we flew in and we arrived in quite late at night, and we were flying out and our flight was at 8 a.m. So rather than get up at 3 a.m. in Florence and get a bus in the middle of the night we thought, you know what, let's go to Pisa the day before, get a nice little hotel in Pisa, spend the day wandering around Pisa, go out for dinner and just enjoy Pisa. And Kira, now I have been to Pisa many, many times, but my wife has only ever been to Pisa once and didn't quite enjoy it. So she was a little skeptical. But if she was here now, she'd be telling you, it's actually really lovely.
Why did she not enjoy it the first time?
I don't know.
Or is that a personal question?
Because Pisa's a funny place because, like, other than the Field of Miracles, which is where the Leaning Tower is and the Baptistry and the Duomo.
Which is lovely, actually.
Yeah, well, but Pisa was heavily bombed in World War II. So a lot of the city is very modern. So it doesn't feel like it has a strong Renaissance character, for instance. But there are parts of Pisa that are very, very beautiful. And even the modern city, notwithstanding the more contemporary architecture, it's a very vibrant place. It's not a huge city, 90,000 people, 100,000 people. It's a huge university town. So it's got a massive student population, which means great nightlife, great bars, really good restaurants, concentrated, and not as many tourists. So the tourists that go to Pisa generally will go, obviously, to the Leaning Tower. And then everywhere else, you don't see them that much.
No, because you go to the Leaning Tower.
And then you get out.
You take your picture,
yeah,
obviously, with your hand up against the tower.
Up,
obligatory.
The new one is now hugging it.
Oh, yeah. Seen that, too.
Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah. I have. And then you get the hell out of there
and go
somewhere more beautiful in Italy.
Exactly. And the thing is that, my suggestion is this. Give Pisa a night and half a day, definitely, and it'll well reward you. And I'm going to go through it here, okay? So obviously, look, you can climb the 251 steps to the Leaning Tower. You get great views. It's fine. Of course, it's like a bucket list thing for a lot of people, like climbed.
It's quite small, the Leaning Tower. That was the only thing.
It's actually much smaller than you think.
That was the only thing prepared for.
It isn't that tall. But the thing is that people do the Leaning Tower and ignore the Duomo, the cathedral, which is gorgeous, and even more the baptistry, which is just as beautiful. So there are three buildings on that big, big kind of green, and three of them are worth your investment. So Pisa, in the Renaissance, it was a big maritime power. So in 1998, archaeologists discovered like 8 ancient ships. I mean, ancient as in Roman time ships. Near the train station. So it goes to show you, like, you know. And so, like, these are 2,000 years old. So they have this amazing, it's called the Museum of Ancient Ships. I mean, like, literally.
Put a lot of thought into that.
But it's an amazing museum. Like, for example, there's the Vasa ship that's in Stockholm is incredible.
So that's the one I was going to talk about because that is blow your socks off.
Absolutely. But here, 8 of them. Yeah, you're right. The Vasa ship in Stockholm is pretty amazing.
Okay, but are they eight to the same scale as that?
Not quite the same scale, but there's eight of them, okay. Not just one. Okay, so you've got, there's also Pisa's medieval credentials. So the, what's it called? The National Museum of St. Matthew, it's called. It's in a convent on the river. Again, really, really beautiful.
Sorry, I'm just looking up your sinking ships museum. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
I will give you that.
Okay. I know. I feel like small victories, Kira. I'm starting 2026 with small victories.
Lower your expectations.
So here's the thing, right? So in terms of like that modern city, which is to a lot of people at first, you're going, oh, it's not very appealing. So Burgos Strete, which means narrow street, is lined with arcades and all kind of the shops. And it's gorgeous and it's lovely and it's absolutely worth an evening stroll. Do a little bit of window shopping, go sit by a cafe, have a hot chocolate or something stronger. And then at the end, so you've got the Piazza della Vettovaglie, which is at the end, which has been the city market since the 16th century. But this is the old medieval or Renaissance part of Pisa, and it's absolutely lovely. Now, one of the things is that if you have a little time, I'm going to recommend two things. One, the Sarosura Nature Reserve, which is just outside the city, brilliant as a cycling day. You might want to do it in wintertime, but certainly worth exploring if you're traveling to Tuscany in the summertime.
What are you going to see there?
Yeah, you've got like, this is where the Medici used to go bring hunting parties back in the, you know, in the 1500s or the 1400s.
Good enough for the Medici's, it's good enough for us.
Exactly. And then here's the other one, right? I don't know if you've noticed this, I certainly have over the years, is any of these kind of celebrity-led travel programs that feature Tuscany always seem to feature like a truffle hunting experience. Like, you know, they'll have like, I don't know, like Richard Ayoade going out and trying truffle hunting.
No? I haven't seen it and I haven't done it.
So, okay. So
is this a thing to do? Am I missing out?
Yes, yes, yes. So truffles, truffles is a key ingredient of Italian and particularly Tuscan cuisine. Very, very smelly. If you want to bring truffles home with you, make sure you wrap it. Ideally, you want to wrap it in a plastic case, because it'll, the smell in all your clothes. But if you like truffle on your pasta,
the taste is absolutely
delicious.
Phenomenal.
So San Miniato, which is about 40 minutes east of Pisa, is truffle territory. And so really the time to go is autumn. So we're kind of past it now. But you get different varieties throughout the year. So you get like certified truffle hunters who work the hills with these trained dogs. Once upon a time, it used to be pigs that were trained to sniff out truffles. Now it's dogs. But local operators will arrange for like truffle hunts for visitors. So you get the experience and you get to kind of take home what you find.
So what do you actually do?
Truffles are in the ground. They're like, yeah, the dog will sniff them out. You dig them out and you put them in a bag and you take them home. But like, do you know how expensive truffles are?
Really?
Yes.
Really,
they're
really
unbelievably expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. So they have in late November, we missed it by a few weeks, but they have a truffle festival. So all of San Miniato turns into like a big celebration of the world's most expensive fungus. Speaking of food, okay, one of the things is that we ended up going for pizza in this absolutely nondescript pizzeria. Like it looked like, to look at it, you go, ugh. And we went and we were like, fine. First of all, Pizza Napoli, €9. Laura had, I think, a slightly more exorbitant pizza, €12. Like, and it was amazing.
The quality was so good.
Oh, so good. So good. So like, generally speaking, but I'm going to name you a couple of things. So there's numero 11, which means number 11, is really kind of nice, casual fare. There's a couple of osteria or trattorias, one called Culegna and the other one called D'Astelio. They do like classic Pisan food. So like, for example, the classic Pisa dish is called cecina, which is this chickpea pancake. There's also a dish called bordatino alla pisana, which is like a bean and cornmeal soup. And then they have this like chocolate and rice tart called torta con biscotti. And again, these are all very...
Can I just say your accent is very impressive for this particular
segment? Well, I am half Italian. So it's not like, I mean, it's ridiculously pretentious, but I am half Italian. My mother would be horrified if I didn't pronounce these things correctly.
Well, you can tell her I'm impressed.
But I'll tell you, you can eat well. And the one thing I would say...
So it's not the most expensive city to eat in?
Sorry, and that's the other point I was going to make. It's not the most expensive city. Like, I was talking to the taxi driver going to the airport the following morning, and he was complaining about, like, they just can't hold on to tourists here. Nobody comes. They come to the Leaning Tower and then they leave. So, but the result is that you have a town that largely exists on student life and local life, which means that you don't have, like, an abundance of restaurants that are cynically catering to tourists with less than good fare.
So it's more authentic.
It's more authentic. Pisa is a more authentic town than a lot of other towns in Tuscany, including a lot of my beloved Florence, I have to say.
But it is also absolutely stunning.
Florence is other.